This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we preview the spring season for the rowing teams, as the Bobcats got back on the Androscoggin River earlier than ever before. Plus, we talked to a pair of standout tennis players from last week, and we introduced you to our new head men's soccer coach, Ben Brewster. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. On Thursday, Bates College held their annual Day of Giving, known as It's a Great Day to Be a Bobcat, and Bates was able to raise more than $1 million. As part of the live stream, we held a special live episode of the Bobcast. One of our guests was new head men's soccer coach Ben Brewster, who was hired on February 19. Ben, first of all, welcome to Bates. You're obviously very familiar with the NESCAC, but what attracted you to the head coaching position here, which you just got hired for about, you know, a little under a month ago?
Yeah, of course. So I grew up in Maine. Love this state. I've been at UMass now for the last 6.5 years in the role of an associate head coach. So, you know, I wanted to selective in terms of what was the next step. And the school itself, being a great academic institution, on top of that, being on campus, meeting with people, meeting with the team, I got a really good feeling for the people here. And I think that is what really drew me in the end to Bates is a good group of people.
So, you know, being so successful when you were a student athlete at Bowdoin, I mean, what does it take to, you know, have success in the NESCAC? What is the secret sauce that maybe you discovered as a player that, you know, maybe can help Bates get to the next level in men's soccer?
Yeah, I mean, I think the intriguing thing about the NESCAC is the lack of contact there is with coaches in the off season. So a lot of it's led by the student athletes on the team in terms of the work that they put in. So I feel as though trying to create a culture and with the student athletes are leading and committed to what they're doing in the off season in terms of everything off the field, from their weightlifting to their how they train on their own, their training habits, how they hydrate, their diet, everything along those lines, because again, there's a lack of contact with the coaches, so a lot of it is it's a unique experience for the student athletes to be able to lead it themselves.
You know, soccer is an interesting sport because I feel like almost every kid in America plays soccer at some point growing up. Even I played soccer, and I can barely run up and down a soccer field. But what made soccer kind of your maybe favorite sport, best sport? I don't know. I mean, you played lacrosse too, but tell us about what drew you to soccer from a competitive standpoint.
That's a great question. I played all sorts of sports growing up. So I grew up playing baseball and soccer and basketball, and then it transitioned to lacrosse and soccer. I think the aspect of there's two 45-minute halves. Yep. There's no timeouts. It's a very free-flowing game in which, you know, it's not a lot of stop and start and stop and start. And that, I think, is what drew me to it, is just the free-flowing nature of it where you're playing for two 45-minute halves without a lot of whistles and stoppages and everything like that.
Do you have any particular memorable matches against Bates when you were playing?
There was a game here that we actually played on Garcelon.
Okay.
We had
Lights, perhaps?
I think it was 2011. Mm-hmm. And it was – we were having a tough season that year, and we ended up winning 1-0, which was a great win for us at the time. But I remember the last 10 minutes of the game, the crossbar, post, crossbar, post. We were just hanging on, and thankfully we got out of there with all 3 points. But it was that was a memorable one, and it was the only time actually we played on the turf. All the other games were down on the Russell Field.
Which, by the way, will soon be turf. That is a project we're doing here, and so we'll have plenty of turf games in the future. You mentioned the lack of contact with coaches during the offseason. Now, the NESCAC has allowed some spring practices for fall sports. Yeah. Amazing, right? So I assume you're going to take advantage of that with your new team. So what are some things you're going to be looking for this spring with the little bit of time you get with the Bobcats, right?
Yeah, it's been really nice. So this is just my second week. Yeah. And so first week we started our spring season. So now we get 10 practices and 6 leadership sessions. So we got into the practices last week. We just had our third practice of the spring yesterday. And it's really good. It's really good to be able to be on the field with the student athletes, start to implement really training habits, mentality of the group is something that I'm focusing on, and just how we compete each and every day. I think it's you focus on the small things and have a big end goal in sight, but by focusing on small little tasks, and you know, the little task for last night was can we train how we did yesterday, how we did the first week, where everyone was all excited to be back on the field. So everyone brought a great level of energy and enthusiasm, and I think if you take care and focus on the small things, that will lead to success in the short and the long term.
Yeah, one of the themes here with Great Day, obviously, is the alumni support we have here at Bates. We're talking with A. Rose and Ella Blum about, you know, women's basketball and field hockey, respectively, the alums, their passion for the sport. What's your message to the men's soccer alums out there who are maybe watching this about what you're going to bring to this program, what should they be looking out for?
Yeah, excited to connect with the men's soccer alums. Really excited. We're doing an alumni event on campus on May 11th, which we'll be sending some info out soon. But just excited. I had some old soccer alums that we had some good battles with back in the day. Johnny Murphy, a Yarmouth guy, comes to mind, who was a good Bates player back in the day. And Peebo Noth, another Mainer, who scored a lot of goals for the Bates team. And a few other Bates alums who I played against or known through the recruiting process at UMass have reached out. So I'm excited to be a Bobcat. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to get in front of the alums and get to meet everyone.
I'm curious about your time at UMass also, because, I mean, with a D3 background, going to the D1 level for men's soccer, what was that transition like for you, and what did you maybe take away from it?
Yeah, I think that a lot of, in terms of the environment we tried to create at UMass, in terms of creating a competitive and a competitive and professional environment with everything we did, in terms of how we trained and how we traveled, and everything along those lines, is something that I'm trying to bring here too. So trying to, with what we have here, how can I make it the most competitive, professional, and but yet fun, because sports are supposed to be fun. Fun environment I can, because I think that will lead to the student athletes being excited to come to practice. And if they're excited to come to practice, they'll want to come back to practice for the next time.
I am curious about, are you already looking forward to the fall when you have the Bowdoin mats circled? What's that going to be like, you think, playing against your alma mater?
Yeah, it will be fun. It'll be fun. I know Scott well, and Scott was my coach my senior year at Bowdoin. Okay. Scott Wyrzynski, who's the head coach there now. Mm-hmm. But it'll be fun. I've had a few of my old Bowdoin teammates reach out and just say, yeah, we're coming up to the game, and I think I know who they'll be rooting for, which will be Bowdoin. But it will be it'll be a fun game. They have a great team, and they're doing fantastic. So they went to the Elite Eight a couple years ago, so it'll be a good game. That's all.
That can be here or there?
That'll be here.
Here, okay.
Yeah,
that'll be here. On the new Russell Street turf, most likely.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll hopefully get a big crowd. I think it's a midweek night game, so we'll get a big crowd out.
Yep.
So it'll be good.
Excellent. And so, I mean, just in terms of like the style of play that you envision for the team, do you have a certain style that you want your teams to always emulate, or is it going to be more based on the players we have at the time?
Yeah, dependent on the players. Yeah. In terms of how I like the games to be, I like us to be, we're going to be a team. So in terms of how that looks on the soccer field, we'll be structured and organized defensively. We'll be a team that backs each other up on the field and off the field. And a team that plays at a high level, a high level tempo-wise. So we're going to be a team that looks to push the pace of the game. So we've got to be fit in order to do that. So, but we'll play both attacking and defensive, look to press teams and look to repress teams, and then but we'll play with a high tempo, which will be fun.
You know, growing up playing soccer, were there players you kind of emulated professionally or anything who you watched? And now as a coach, are there any, like, you know, MLS coaches or international coaches you follow closely?
Yeah, great question. So I'm a Chelsea fan, so we're struggling right now at Chelsea. But growing up, I liked John Terry. The Chelsea teams with Mourinho, where they were winning the league and winning Champions League. So I always liked John Terry because I was a center back as well. Mm-hmm. Sergio Ramos was another defender who I liked and would watch professional games to look to see little tips and tricks of what the pros are doing. And in terms of coaches now, I mean, if you look at just how good Liverpool and Man City are, very different styles, but just how the teams are so, just the two best teams in the world, and how they play and how everyone's so committed to playing the way that they want to play, and the buy-in they get from their players is pretty impressive.
I've been told that, you know, college soccer, in terms of the style of play, is so much different from elsewhere. How does that kind of break down in terms of the style of college soccer versus, you know, maybe pro or whatnot?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that when a lot of youth soccer now growing up is what I would describe as being under physical and over technical.
Okay.
And then college soccer is almost the exact opposite.
It
can be under technical and over physical at times. And then the professional world is a good mix of both, where there's the physicality involved, but the players will be able to handle technically as well. And I think it's because, you know, everyone, you're playing for your college team, it means a lot. And guys are excited and want to win, and that can often lead to a certain style of play. But I think that would be my synopsis of it, yeah.
Excellent. And then are you a fan of the show Ted Lasso? Because that's been like the way soccer's kind of been on the map a little bit more in the United States recently.
I have watched Ted Lasso, yeah. It's a fun show. They do a good job in that. So it's a good show. It's some good messages, to be fair, too, but I like it.
I was going to say, as a coach, you take anything away from that? Obviously, a little more soccer background than Ted had.
Yeah, a little bit more, I'd hope. Ted Lasso, he connects well with the team, I think.
Yeah.
Like some of the messaging that he had to his team and kind of the patience he showed, I guess, in various situations would be some good teaching points, yeah.
Yeah, patience is obviously very important for coaches.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So just tell us about, the team, and you've got to meet some of the guys. What's that transition been like? Are you meeting with each person individually, or how's that kind of going to get to know? I mean, it's a fairly big roster.
Yeah, it's a big roster, and we have our juniors right now who are abroad.
Right.
So I've had the chance to connect with them over the phone and trying to keep them up to date with what we're doing this spring. With the guys on campus right now, we have 18 guys on campus. So we've had a few team meetings already, and then our training sessions, and then guys are filtering in the office just for individual meetings too. So it's been good. Like I said, when I was on campus during the interview process, I got a good feeling for the team. It seems like a close-knit group of guys who care for each other, and I told them that's a good starting point. And so it's been good to get to know the team dynamics and the individuals as I'm getting used to being here.
Yeah, and recruiting obviously is so important at every level of college nowadays. Even though we don't do athletic scholarships here, we do recruit athletes, obviously. So when you're recruiting, what are you looking for? What would make an ideal Bates Bobcat in your mind?
Yeah, it will be somebody who wants to be at Bates is important to me, because I think, you can go chasing all sorts of different people, but at the end of the day, they have to want to be at Bates to be part of the team and be part of the community and be part of the academics that are offered here as well. So that's an important piece. Looking for recruits who are competitive. So it's something looking for little kind of markers in terms of their level of competitiveness, how they're impacting the games when the games that we watched. And then are they leaders on their team as well, I think is an important piece. It's not so much concerned about what level they're coming from in terms of, there's all sorts of different leagues now in the youth soccer world, because I think that good players are all over the country, and it's about finding the ones that, one, want to be here, and two, are have kind of the right makeup to be a part of our team.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you want to mention about, your transition to Bates so far and your initial impressions, just a couple weeks in?
No, I'm just getting, just getting my feet under me. It's been so many people have introduced themselves, and just so appreciative of the support I've gotten from everybody in the athletic department and different parts of campus. So I am thrilled to be here. My wife and I are looking to buy a house and move to the area. So, yeah, we're just excited to be in Maine, and just thanks everyone for welcoming me with open arms.
And you said you were born and raised in Maine, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Cape Elizabeth, so
okay.
Still have family here, and my wife's family's here, so it's nice. So a lot of people we know are in the area, too.
Yeah, it must be nice to have a homecoming, because for 7 years you were in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and before that out in San Francisco,
okay.
So it's really been 10 years away not living in Maine, so it is really, I love Maine, and it's great to be home.
What's your favorite aspect of living in the state?
I love the seasons.
Yeah.
I like to ski, and then I like the ocean too. So I think it gives a pretty good balance of all of those things. But then similar to how I feel about Bates is it's good. I think Maine people are good people. So I like the people in Maine, and I think it's a nice community.
The tennis teams were in action this weekend. Women's tennis fell 6-3 at Wellesley, but senior captain Allie Friedman and the Bobcats battled hard, with 4 of the 6 singles matches going the maximum 3 sets. Friedman won at the top of the lineup by a count of 6-2, 6-7, 6-1, and she is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Allie, first of all, a bunch of matches against Wellesley went to the maximum 3 sets there. Coach said he was really proud of how hard the team fought. What did you see from the team and how you were able to, really battle in a lot of those matches?
Honestly, I could not have been more proud of my team. I was so excited, and we are a very young team, and just how they're able to go out there and fight, and the energy was better than it's ever been. Everyone was just happy to be here, grateful to fight, and I think a lot of things clicked for a lot of different people, and I just could not have been more proud. Everyone was fighting so hard and screaming each other's names, and just like, it was a college tennis match. It was the most fun it could have been. And yeah, everyone's playing amazing. I'm super excited.
And for you personally, your match at number one singles went to three sets. You kind of dominated the third set, though. I think it was 6-1. So what clicked for you in that third set to really put away the match, get the victory?
Yeah, I mean, I probably the last like 10 out of 11 matches, 10 out of 12 matches since last season I've played have gone to third sets. And I'm getting to the point where I'm like, really, another third set? But just to see, to be out there with my team alongside me, everyone in a third set, like, I just wanted to do it for them. And I was so excited to just be there with them. And, you know, it's my last season, so like, those are the moments I'm going to remember. I'm not going to remember the score necessarily, but I'm going to remember the fact that, like, I was on the court next to Iris and we were grinding. And I was on the court across from Julia and, like, we would go back to the fence and high-five each other and completely pump each other up. And, like, I was frustrated to go to another third set because, you know, at this point I'm like, seriously? But just to be doing it with, like, every single member of my team along the line was an amazing feeling. And like, coach came up to me and he was so excited, and just like seeing how excited he was of the team, I was like, all right, this is pretty awesome.
Excellent. Now, earlier this month, you had to miss a couple matches because you were presenting your thesis. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so I'm a psychology major, and my thesis, I was studying the promotive and preventive factors of disclosing distress to coaches. And so I'm very interested in sports psychology. So thesis was last semester for me, and I presented that the whole department thing. And then Sue Langdon, a professor here who's also a sports psychologist, she told me about this opportunity, the regional sports psychology conference at Springfield College. And so I applied for it, did not have that much hope, but my thesis ended up getting in, and it was super awesome. I drove down to Springfield, and it was hilarious because, of course, Springfield is like literally 30 minutes from my team, but yet I couldn't be there with them because of the timing. And yeah, I presented Friday night, and there were keynote speakers. I met a lot of really cool people, and it's great because that's kind of the profession I want to go into. So meeting everyone is amazing. And then during the conference, I was actually play-siting the Smith match and watching it on the side, because I was like, at the end of the day, like, yes, this is my future, but like, I still really want to be here with my team. And just like being gone, it was tough. I was like, I was an adult for, you know, a few hours. And then like for the Mount Holyoke match, I was like, all right, no, I'm back. So I went back and just coached the girls and worked with them. And it was just great to be back with them because we have such a good group this year. And it's just, it's a family.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Smith match, because that was, what, 5-4? Mm-hmm. Bobcats won, but it was tight. So what was that like? I mean, you're on your phone kind of like...
I was so anxious. Someone was presenting their keynote, and I was like really, really like obviously engaged, but also like I was watching doubles, and I was like, no, stop, guys. And I was just like super into it. And my mom came up for the weekend as well, and she's a social worker, so it was perfect that she was at the conference as well, and like it was on her phone, so we were watching it and we were just like, and then like the people recording the conference would come behind us and I'd be like, no, don't look at that.
head up, head down. And then you mentioned, you know, presenting your thesis itself, what was that kind of experience like in front of a bunch of people who are, you know, have a lot of experience in this field?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty terrified, but that being said, it was just really cool having that conversation, because I do think, like, the coach-athlete relationship is such an important thing, and, like, disclosing one's mental health, like, that is a very important topic that is, like, starting to be discussed in athletics. We see with Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles and all those big athletes, but there still is a huge like discrepancy of the level of disclosure. And I think the coach plays a really important role, and it's pretty cool because like as college athletes, we get a unique perspective. And as Division III athletes, we have a really unique perspective as well. So just being able to have those conversations, and it was like a poster session. So it was me and then like four or five graduate students presenting their posters. And I was one of two undergrads. Mm. And people were just walking around and just having conversation. And it was very similar to the thesis session that the psychology department hosted earlier on last semester. But yeah, I definitely was very, very stressed. And then like, I had to stop watching the playset, obviously, for a little bit. And then I was like, Mom, like, what's the score?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good experience. I'm really happy I did it.
Will you also be presenting at the Mount David Summit or no?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. My thesis journey has come to an end.
Okay. Gotcha. And then are you thinking about grad school in this type of field? Okay.
Yeah. So I plan to move to Boston next September and work in the mental health sports field. So some sort of nonprofit work, potentially just working with using sport as a way to heal trauma and talk about mental health and trauma and all those really tough conversations, and just like using that outlet of sports because I do think it is so important. And then the following year, I plan to go to grad school, and I'm currently in the process of debating whether I want to use my fifth year of eligibility and play.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then the next day you mentioned you were kind of helping coach the team.
Yeah.
A little bit. What was that experience like?
I love working with the team. I love it. I've been coaching for a very, very long time. I honestly sometimes feel like more comfortable coaching than even playing. I really, really enjoy it. And I think like I have a really unique insight just because of the amount of tennis I've played and coached in my life. And also just with the experience, like I pick up on different things and I'm very observant with that. And I think working with the girls, like I have a really good relationship with all of them. And like, I know how helpful it is to have a teammate next to you, because like I've been that underclassman who like has looked up to the upperclassmen and kind of wanted to have that conversation on the sidelines. And like, as amazing as it is, like we only have one coach and a lot of teams have two. So, like, having someone else there for you, next to you, like, to comfort you or to talk to you about strategy is super important. And, like, everyone needs different things in their matches. So, like, from the player's perspective, like, I know that sometimes you feel more comfortable having a teammate come over and talk to you and try to coach you or just comfort you. And sometimes you want coach. And so, like, there is that different people want different things. And I think like being there and knowing them so well, like it's good. I'm able to like kind of hear what they want and they can talk candidly to me. So it's really good.
Excellent. Then you've got a bunch of stuff packed here. No one can see it, but a bunch of stuff packed here. You're about ready to go to Vassar for a midweek match and then also Connecticut College after that. So what are your thoughts on this upcoming road trip for the tennis teams?
Super excited. Yeah, I think Vassar, we've never played Vassar before.
Hmm.
I'm sure back in
years
and
during
years
your
and
time,
ago, but
right, yeah.
Yeah, during my time, we've never played Vassar before, so I'm super excited. I mean, just playing a new team is really exciting because all the NESCAC, like, everyone knows each other. So it's like, I've played her, or she's played my teammate, or we played juniors together and all of that. So there's always this like new excitement about going somewhere else. And just, I think the energy with the team is really, really good. And I think it'll be awesome. I think, we're practicing tomorrow at Vassar. So we're driving 5 hours tonight and then practicing for an hour and a half, 2 hours to just feel the courts a little bit. And then the boys are playing and then we play the next day. And yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'm excited.
Excellent. Any other thoughts you want to share about the team this year or about, you know, the match this past weekend we haven't got to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I'm super excited. I think the level of the team is really, really strong, and I think the energy just keeps getting better and better, and I think people really, really want it. So It's awesome.
All right, women's tennis in action at Vassar and then at Connecticut College, and you'll have a bunch of home matches later on this spring, so looking forward to that there at the Wallach Tennis Center. Allie Freeman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The men's tennis team was very busy on Sunday, playing two matches at Merrill Gym. The Bobcats swept Nicholls College 9-love and followed that up with a 9-love win over USM as well. Junior Ben 80 was the only Bobcat to play four matches on Sunday, two in doubles and two in singles. He won all four, including a victory at number one doubles against USM. And Ben 80 is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Ben, a busy day for you Sunday there at Merrill Gym. Not often you play four matches in one day, two doubles, two singles. You're actually the only Bobcat, I believe, to do that. So take us through the day kind of from your perspective, and how'd you be able to get through not only, you know, playing all four, but winning all four?
It was definitely a long day. That's the first time I've ever played four matches in one day. But yeah, I mean, I haven't been in the lineup the last 2 years, so anytime, you know, I get the opportunity to compete, I'm excited. So it was a good day.
Yeah, getting into the lineup there, and not only that, but also getting a chance to play at number one doubles. How cool was that experience?
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I love playing with Vange. That's what we call my doubles partner, and we played well, so it was really fun.
You and him are both walk-ons. Take us through kind of your experience joining the team when you arrived at Bates.
Yeah, so we're both from Maine, played high school tennis, and coming in, we both reached out to Coach Gassingay, and he was nice enough to give us an opportunity to walk on. So since then, we've worked really hard, and we play together a lot. So it's been great actually getting in the lineup now.
And he, you know, Coach is from Maine also, right? So that must be nice.
Yeah, no, he likes the Maine guys, and we both played a few sports in high school, so he likes athletes, and he gave us the chance.
Yeah, I saw you play a bunch of sports in high school. Take us through that and what made tennis kind of sport you wanted to try keep going in college, right?
Yeah, no, I played soccer. I ski raced and also played lacrosse my senior year of high school. So tennis, I think, was just the one that I hadn't explored my potential in, and I was really interested in trying to do that in college. And so when I got the opportunity, I was super excited and, you know, committed myself fully to tennis from there on out.
And how did you first start playing tennis kind of growing up? You mentioned you played a bunch of sports, but what first got you into tennis specifically?
My mom had played some tennis when she was growing up, so she got me into it from a young age, and then I took some lessons here and there, took a break for a while through middle school, and then high school started up again, and then really like junior, senior year around COVID time, I got back into it and started playing a lot again.
Since arriving at Bates, what areas of your tennis game have you been working on the most?
Probably the biggest difference in my game now from when I was a freshman is my serve. That's something that's really easy to work on, so I spent a lot of time on that, and it's improved a lot, as well as other parts of my game, but I think that was a weakness when I came in, and now, you know, I feel really confident with it.
And then, you know, your background as an athlete, you know, in a bunch of different sports, how much did that help you get through four matches in one day?
Yeah, no, it was good. I think just playing a lot of tennis prepared me for that. Mm-hmm. None of the matches were super long, but, you know, obviously playing four of them, you start to get a little tired. But I think, yeah, just playing a ton of tennis leading up to it prepared me for it well.
And it was all indoors, right?
It was.
Yeah, and so obviously we have indoor and outdoor courts here. In March, typically we're indoors, although I think you guys just got outdoors a little bit recently, right?
I mean, we haven't had too much snow this winter.
Yeah.
So I think hopefully starting maybe next week we'll be outdoors permanently, so that'll be exciting.
Now, what do you think about the Merrill courts? I know those can be tricky for opponents. How much of a home court advantage is it for you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely an adjustment. It's something that we're really fortunate to have such a big home court advantage. So anytime we get the opportunity to play in Merrill, we take advantage of it. As fun as it is to play outside, you know, that home court advantage is real when we go inside.
And growing up, did you ever get the chance to play at Bates and tournaments and stuff like that?
Actually, high school, I think we would have our state singles tournament and then maybe a couple of team matches towards the end of like the state finals here. So I played on the outdoor courts a couple times, never indoors.
Mm. And was Bates always on your radar for college being from Maine, or how do you end up wanting to come here?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. I was looking at a lot of NESCACs and I wanted to stay Northeast region. So Bates was definitely high on my list. And, you know, when I got in, it was pretty clear that was where I was going to go.
And did you reach out to Coach before you enrolled, or was it after you enrolled in the first fall you were like, hey, I want to join the team?
I think I had reached out to him once before. he obviously said he couldn't give me any help getting into the school, but if I could get in, he thinks he could give me a chance. So then once I got in, he, you know, we communicated a little bit more and he gave the opportunity to me.
And then not getting that many chances in the lineup until, you know, these, you know, maybe this past weekend and stuff. How do you kind of maintain your focus? That can be tricky, I think, sometimes because tennis, you know, it's a team sport in college, but you're still competing individually for spots in the lineup. So how have you maintained kind of your passion for the game here as a junior, you know, staying, you know, with it?
Right. Yeah, no, it is tricky for sure. We're all competing for the same spots, but we're also on the same team.
Yeah.
So I think just practicing as hard as you can every day is the key, because if I feel like I'm getting better, that's still what's super exciting about the game to me. So it doesn't really matter if I'm in the lineup or not, if I look at it that way. And if I keep improving, you know, my chances are going to improve of being in the lineup itself. So that part is really exciting.
And to have teammates like your doubles partner, that's helpful too, right?
Yeah, just being around my teammates who all are looking to get better every single day is just super great to have on a team.
What's this group like overall, the men's tennis team this year?
Yeah, it's a young group. Mm-hmm. We graduated a few last year, so bringing in a bunch of freshmen has been a change, but I've gotten to know them better and I really like all of them now. So I think we've started to bond as a group, and it took a little while, but I'm really excited for the rest of the spring.
You got a midweek road trip here to Vassar. What are your thoughts on going to upstate New York for a match here on Wednesday?
Yeah, it'll be a long trip. We'll play Conn on Friday too, and won't get back till Saturday night. But it's Vassar's a really good tennis school, so I'm excited to play them and see what we can bring against them, and then Conn as well. Every NESCAC opponent's tough, so those will be two good matches.
Oh, interesting. So you're going to Vassar, then you're going to keep on going to Conn after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. So how do you balance the academics and the athletics here? I know there's a little bit of a break, I think, in March, but in general, like, you know, there is obviously some overlap, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it can be hard at times. I haven't had too much trouble this semester. I think there's like a couple busy weeks with exam weeks, but these breaks really allow you to catch up, I think, and our schedule is helpful that way, where we have a few short breaks. So it hasn't been too bad this semester, but definitely something to.
I saw you're an economics major, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So what got you into that field?
I've always been interested in going into something business or finance related, and Bates doesn't have a finance major, so economics is kind of the closest thing to that, and I've really liked it at Bates so far.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on these matches against Nichols and Southern Maine? Anything that stands out to you from the day?
Yeah, I think it was really exciting. Having the doubleheader, we got a few more faces into the lineup that hadn't been there before. And myself included, just getting the opportunity to play is super exciting. And so I think everyone who got in the lineup did really well. And so I was really impressed with the whole team this weekend.
Excellent. Ben 80, two victories in singles, two victories in doubles as well there against Nichols and Southern Maine, respectively, on Sunday. Bobcats head to Vassar, then Connecticut College. They'll be home eventually again here. There's a little bit of a later home schedule this season, but thanks so much for joining the Bobcats. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The rowing teams were on the water earlier than ever this year, March 12, to be exact. And this Saturday, they are in New Jersey to take on Columbia University in the first races of the spring. Head coach Peter Steenstra previews the spring season. Earliest you've been on the river ever, I think. So first of all, before we talk about the Columbia races this weekend, tell me a little bit about the team able to get out on the river in mid-March.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. There's no question about it. And the kids are the ones that are no longer in the yurt room, or at least not every afternoon. They're still there in the mornings, a few mornings a week, but I think I was more excited than they were about getting out on the river, just because I'm getting cabin fever just as badly as they are, I think. So it's very encouraging. You know, normally we'd be going to this first race. Like last year was the first year of the race down in New York. And it was largely just so we could get some water time, right? This new March recess that we have, we didn't have it before. So we want to try to take advantage of that. So that's where this trip came about. But the fact that this year we're going to practice at least seven times before we even get down there is just, you know, it's amazing. It's wonderful.
And then I know you obviously also had your trip to Florida during the winter where you got to, I believe, scrimmage a D1 team, right? Tell me how that went.
Yeah, I scrimmaged Stetson on the women's side, and then Stetson and whatever they're called, the Aeronautics University of this town. It's a new Division II program. Oh. And so we raced the men on that side. And, yeah, the women did very well against Stetson, which was really encouraging. And the guys just weren't quite ready to be racing, you know, Stetson and the other one. Sorry, I forgot their name.
The nameless D2 school.
being Florida programs right there on the water quite a bit. Yeah. So they were quite sharp, actually, for February. And they did well against us. So
the women's team, though, you mentioned very well against Stetson and now facing an Ivy League opponent this weekend. So tell me a little bit about what you're hoping to see from the women. It's not necessarily about the results, but just in terms of what they do on the water.
Yeah, it's great to go into the race having no idea of what we can do. Last year they beat us quite easily. Rough day, zero water beforehand, of course, other than the Florida trip. A younger group, and this year I think that group has aged a good amount. They've gotten some really good work done between the fall and then into this spring. So they're more prepared than they were a year ago. And I think they're a little more focused on their overall performance that they're planning to have down there. It's not just a get down there to get some water time, right? They want to go race.
Yeah.
Does that mean that we're necessarily on par with Columbia and also the Drexel women? There's no way for us to know. So that's part of what's nice about getting down there is just being able to do some pieces with an opponent that we know nothing about.
What boats are we bringing down there? I know you have eights and fours and everything.
Yeah, we're taking the whole thing. So we've got 3 8s on both sides, plus some extra bodies. And the way we're doing this, it's going to be the real race will be the first thing Saturday, and then we'll actually go back out on the water for like some 1,000-meter pieces to do some additional scrimmage work.
Hmm.
Right, so really kind of get the money's worth of the trip.
Yeah. So 1 2K race and then some half?
Yeah, 1 2K and then 3 1K races. Yeah, and so we'll change the lineups a little bit and make sure that anyone who wasn't in the boat for the first race will get some water time for the second one.
You know, the women's team, you know, had the Charles till now. What have you seen in terms of their growth from the fall till spring?
A lot.
Yeah.
I think is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Just a lot. Everyone really came ready to get to work this spring, which has been very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of injuries on the team, but many of them have been non-rowing related and some of them kind of generally bizarre.
Okay.
So it hasn't been an overworked group, right? They've done some good training, I think, as a whole, and they're just prepared for this racing season. And the depth is apparent.
Is there a lot of fierce competition for varsity 8 and second varsity 8 spots right now?
I think that with the varsity 8, it's pretty close to being set already.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of movement down in the second 8, third 8. And then as bodies are coming back from these peculiar injuries, you know, they're going straight into the mix and they're competitive. So
you said the men's team wasn't quite ready for Stetson necessarily. How are they looking right now in terms of that?
I think the Stetson thing was a very good wake-up to them because they probably went into that scrimmage feeling good about themselves. It did hit hard, I think, realizing just how tired they were going into that Saturday scrimmage, but also where their competition was in comparison to us. But since then, having some good indoor training has happened, now getting on the water early, and the boats are looking real sharp right now. It's a very, it's a good experienced group of guys. You know, the Varsity 8 is going to be a very competitive boat, and there's six or seven guys in the second 8 that are right on the edge of being competitive for that position. So, I think you look at the men's side, and there's a uniformity of depth. We could have people come and go, and I don't think any boat is going to lose even a second of speed.
Yeah. Going back to the women's side of things, last year, fourth at NCAA, second varsity 8 did win another gold medal, keep that streak going. But it seems like, you know, Tufts has recently become quite the power. Wellesley is consistent. Williams has good top speed. Wesleyan, it seems like there's a lot of competition right now in D3 women's rowing. It's kind of big picture. What's it looking like from your perspective?
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Again, we don't know anything, but there's clearly something has happened at a few of these other schools. All of a sudden, their rosters went from two or three eights up to five, six, or we're hearing whispers even of one program has 7/8 on the water consistently. It's actually Williams men, but yeah, okay. Is there any truth to any of it? Who knows, right? It's clearly there's a number of programs that have gotten much, much bigger. I feel good about the size that we are. It's manageable for the three coaches that we have. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't want to get too big, but this allows for sort of a little more focused effort on the coaching side.
We interviewed the two new assistants earlier when they were first brought on. How's that kind of going with the kind of new staff for you to work with?
Yeah, they're doing great. They're doing really well. And they're excited to get into the racing. And again, it's fortunate to be on the water early because it allows us to do some of that work that we in the past hadn't really gotten to do until we were in the second week of April. So to do this, to have practice first at home before we're making trips south with regattas in mind, we're not going into those regattas blind. Yeah. And so that's a big piece of the puzzle for the assistant coaches, especially those that are new to this place. So Katie and Mike have done a real good job just preparing for everything, but now they're all into the swing of coaching the group. So we are going into races with some knowledge of what we're getting ourselves into.
I know rowing the ultimate team sport, but any individuals perhaps who have like kind of jumped out as making leaps this year?
No, I'm not going to talk about them now.
Not now.
There definitely are, but yep, I'm not going to throw some names out there just yet, just because even today's lineups could change. Sure. So, you know, I don't want to – everyone's ready to go, and that's pretty exciting.
Peter Steenstra, thanks so much.
Right, thanks.
The softball and baseball teams are away this week, with softball in Florida and baseball in Arizona. Check out GoBatesBobcats.com to check out all the latest results there. And don't forget, Bates has 13 swimmers at this week's NCAA Championships, which begin Wednesday in Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll recap all this week's action next time on the Bates Bobcast.